Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, it doesn't even go on. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sure, it's nice to have it on. I guess it has to be plugged in. Miracles like that don't always happen. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text 19. Tasman nandatmajo yam te. Narayana samoganai. Shriya krityanubhavena. Kopayasva samahita. Tasmanandatmajo yam te. Narayana samoganai. Shriya krityanubhavena. Kopayasva samahita. Yamte Yayana Samoganai Shriya Kritya Nubhavena Ayasva Samahita. Ayasva smahita Matmanatmayoyamte Ayasamahita Kya Krityanu Bhavena Kopayasva smahita Tasmanandatmajoyamte Narayana Samoganai Shriya Kityanubhavena Kopayasva Samahita. Ladies, Tasmanandatmajoyamte Narayana Samogunai Shriya Kitana Varena Svasamahita Tasmat. Therefore, Nanda, O Nanda Maharaj, Atmaja, your son, I am this, Te of you, Narayana Samaha. As good as Narayan, Narayan himself showing transcendental qualities. Gunai by qualities. Shriya by opulence. Kritya especially by his name and fame. Anubhavena and by his influence. Gopayasva just raise his child. Samahitaha with great attention and precaution. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayan, and his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence is exactly like Narayan. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Purport. In this verse, the word Narayana Samaha is significant. Narayan has no equal. He is Asamurdvaha. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. Greater than he is. As stated in Shastra, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatahai Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sapandi Bhavet Dhruvam. One who equates Narayan even with great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma is a Pashandi, an agnostic. No one can equal Narayan. Nonetheless, Gargamuni used the word samaha, sama, meaning equal, because he wanted to treat Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had become Nanda Maharaj's son. Gargamuni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, for your worshipful deity Narayan is so pleased with you that he has sent you his son almost equal to him in qualifications. Therefore, you may designate your son with a similar name, such as Mukunda or Madhusudana. But you must always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, there will be many hindrances. Therefore, you should raise and protect this child with great care. If you can protect this child very cautiously, as Narayan always protects you, the child would be as good as Narayan. Gargamuni also indicated that although the child was exaltedly qualified like Narayan, he would enjoy more than Narayan as Rasa Vihari, the central enjoyer of the Rasa dance. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. He would be served by many gopis who would be all as good as the goddess of fortune. So the text again. Tasmanandatmajo yamte narayana samoganai shriya kritya nubhavena upashyasva samahitaha. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayan. His transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence is exactly like Narayan. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Satarne. It is said that Krishna has many energies, Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. But one of the energies is the illusory energy, and the other is the spiritual energy. But they both put the living entity into illusion. One spiritual illusion and one material illusion, especially when we're dealing with the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. Just like presently, the conditioned souls are under material illusion. Therefore, we think ourselves to be this body, But with a little intelligence, we can see, actually, I'm not the body. But still we act like a body anyhow, or mind. So that's the power of illusion. Although with our intelligence, we can understand that my body is changing, but I myself and the body are always the same. Still, we continue to misidentify ourselves with the body, although we know we're not the body. So that's called Mahamaya. But even one becomes liberated from Mahamaya and is under Yogamaya, Daivi Prakritim Ashvitya, then still, one is still an illusion, as Nanda Maharaj is an illusion, thinking that Krishna is an ordinary person. Mother Jasoda is thinking Krishna is an ordinary person. She can open Krishna's mouth and see the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. Or perhaps she saw even more than that, universes in Krishna's mouth. The complete, at least the complete cosmic manifestation with all the planets and all the inhabitants. And yet, when she was thinking in a very high philosophical way, then Krishna, he put her under Yogamaya and she forgot all about her philosophy and thought Krishna was just her dependent little child. Therefore, we can determine which kind of illusion we want to be in, spiritual illusion or material illusion. The difference is Mother Jasoda is under the pleasure potency and we're under the painful potency. In any case, we're not going to know exactly who Krishna really is. Here we don't even think Krishna exists. And there we think he's just a small child, or perhaps he's one of our friends, or he's our boyfriend, whatever. In Vaikuntha, of course, they know that Krishna is Narayan, and therefore they worship him with awe and reverence. But in this 10th canto, it's Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And no matter what Krishna does, they can't conceive of him outside of his role as simply one of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Even Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill and holds it in his left pinky for 7 days and seven nights. Still, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men are holding up their sticks and thinking that they're holding up the mountain. And Krishna is assisting them. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chastised by his father, Jagannath Mishra, heavily chastised for doing something wrong, that night Jagannath Mishra had a dream. And in the dream, one Brahmin came and told Jagannath Mishra, "My dear Jagannath Mishra, there is no need to chastise your son, Nimai, because he's self-effulgent. He knows everything. There's no need to tell him to do anything." Jagannath Mishra said, "Whoever you may think my son is, still he's my son, and it's the duty of the father to instruct the son." Brahma said, "You don't seem to understand. Your son knows everything. There's no need to instruct him about anything." "No, you don't understand. He's my son. And whoever he may be, it makes no difference to me. It's the duty of the father to instruct the son. So he did something wrong. It's my duty to instruct him." So all night long, there was an argument going on in Jagannath Mishra's dream. And then at the end of the night, when Jagannath Mishra was ready to wake up, the Brahmin left very happily, having the association of such a pure devotee as Jagannath Mishra. Therefore, the quest for knowledge is not the highest aspect of Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, apicharasi papevya sarvevya papakritamaha sarvam jnana vrinevaiva vrijanam santarishasi planevaiva vrijanam santarishasi. Even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of misery. Of course, this transcendental knowledge is not ordinary knowledge like university knowledge, technical knowledge. It's knowledge of our constitutional position in relation to Krishna and the means by which we can act in this world in order to obtain Krishna's pleasure and his mercy in the form of Tesham Eva Nukamparatam Aham Agyana Jam Tamaha Na Shamyam Yatmabhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhashvataha. Out of compassion, I dwell in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is not going to bestow his compassion upon us because we think we're a great personality or others think we're a great personality. Krishna bestows his mercy upon us when we're constantly engaged in service with love, with gratitude. If we enter into Krishna consciousness and we think that we're the gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to this movement, and by my mercy the movement goes on or advances, then we won't make very much progress in devotional service. Those who are actually advanced, they're the humblest. They think at every moment they have a great opportunity to serve Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives and his associates and the other devotees, I have an opportunity to do something for Krishna. Even Srimati Radharani, she thinks the same way, that because she's so fortunate, she has so many nice associates, therefore she can try to render some service to Krishna. And if we think that I'm a great personality, I have so many material assets, and therefore I'm doing so much wonderful service to Krishna, then the result is we're under the illusory energy and we won't make any progress in the spiritual energy. And if we don't have any gratitude for what Krishna has already given us in terms of an opportunity for devotional service, then we'll simply hanker and lament over our material circumstances. And therefore, we won't be able to actually enter into the spiritual energy. If one is thinking that I'm as good as Narayan, rather than I should take that Krishna is as good as Narayan, and therefore I should try to take care of him, as it says here, carefully and cautiously. If we think we're as good as Narayan, then we'll get into trouble. And if we think Krishna is as good as Narayan, then we'll make spiritual advancement. When Prabhupada was installing the deities here, 1969, I believe, at that time he was mentioning, first he mentioned about one Babaji. I forget his name, Vamsidas Babaji. And he was about to tell the story of Vamsidas Babaji, and then he stopped. And he started to tell the story of Sanatan Goswami, who was hanging Madan Mohan within the tree. At that time, Sanatan Goswami was begging from, well, as you probably know the story, there was one Brahmin in the neighborhood who had Madan Mohan, not as a deity, but more or less as one of his children. And sometimes Madan Mohan would be on the altar being worshipped, and sometimes he'd go out and play with this Brahmin's other children. Rather familiar deity, familiar relationship with the deity. Sanatan Goswami was doing Madhukari in the neighborhood, and he came across that house, and Madan Mohan became attracted to Sanatan Goswami's devotion and said, "I'd like to go and live with you." Sanatana Goswami said, I don't think it would be a good idea because I may not be able to give you the proper accommodations that you're used to, or the same standard of food that you're used to being offered. Sanatana Goswami said, Madan Mohan said, no, it's all right. I'm sure you have some nice arrangements you can make for me. I'll take a chance. So Madan Mohan took a chance and he lost. Because Sanatana Goswami had absolutely no place to live. He was living underneath the tree, and Madan Mohan's altar became a tree. Sanatana Goswami had no means of livelihood, therefore he was doing madhukari, begging. And begging in Vrindavan doesn't mean you come up with pizza and ice cream. It means that you come up with a roti. A roti is not exactly one of these nicely rolled out crispy rotis that the Bengali ladies expertly make. A roti meant they take some dough, a little flour, kind of mix it together in their hands, and then throw it into an open fire, half burnt and half raw. So Madan Mohan, Sanatana Goswami was begging, and he'd get one or two roti, these kind of rotis every day, and offer it to Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan, after some time, he couldn't take it anymore. And he said, my dear Sanatana Goswami, he said, every day you're offering me one of these dry, half-baked pieces of bread. Can't even add a little salt to it? So Sanatana Goswami said, well, today's salt, tomorrow sugar. Tomorrow you want sweets. He said, I'm an old man. I can't even move, hardly move. Whatever I have, I offer to you. Kindly take it and don't complain. So Prabhupada started to chuckle when he mentioned that. And he said, and therefore he had to eat it. But then he said, well, what is your qualification? And what is the qualifications of the things that you have? He said, it's nothing. He said, the real mood is, my dear Krishna, kindly take. I have no qualifications. I'm rotten, I'm fallen, but I brought this for you. And then Prabhupada started to cry. And he said, don't be puffed up. Always remember that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. Thank you. So we think we're so qualified, we're as good as Narayan, we have some exalted position, and who is this Krishna anyhow? He's depending on my mercy, and I'm so kind to him, I even offer him some food sometimes. So with that kind of attitude, of course, we won't be able to understand Krishna very well, we won't be able to understand Narayan very well. But we're in the 10th canto, and we're dealing with the most intimate relationships with Krishna on the level of Vrindavan Prema. And what can we actually understand about that? And that's when it's actually on that level. How can we understand the mood of the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna can lift up a hill with his left pinky, hold it up for 7 days, and it doesn't at all disturb the mood of the residents of Vrindavan towards Krishna. He remains for the cowboys just another one of their friends. For the gopis, he remains a beautiful young cowherd boy. For the parents, he remains a dependent child. But we're reading this, so all we can do is offer respects to this description and realize that in our position, we can't even understand that we're not the body. What to speak of understanding what the mood of the residents of Vrindavan is towards someone we're not even aware of, hardly aware of. The conclusion is that the 10th canto is meant for not imagining that we are entering into it very deeply, but it's meant to give us some idea so we can appreciate that there's such an exalted goal. And while we're trying to make progress towards that exalted goal, now we worship the deities in the mood of awe and reverence. As Prabhupada said, we don't go up to the deity during the Mantha Damodar and threaten him with a rope, we're going to tie him to a rope. He doesn't act properly. That's not our mood. Our mood is, Krishna is so kindly come in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're trying to surrender, offer our energies in his service, either in the service of the worship of the deity or in the service of the Sankirtan movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And in this way, we can become free from our misconceptions, first of all, come under the internal energy and free us, become free from the external energy. And then when we realize our identity, then we can actually begin real life again, which is in a completely different level of consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice explanation of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. How to deal with, when you travel in India, as you do, we all do sometimes, we come across personalities who live there and seem to be in that mood, but when you examine their lives, they don't seem to match. In other words, they do what you just said. They will threaten the Lord with a rope that they're going to tie him up because they think they're on that exalted position, but when you look at their daily lives, it's not like Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. So how do we, as devotees in ISKCON, we're traveling in India, we come across people like that, how to interact and how to deal with them? You don't want to chastise them, tell them, oh, you're just a Sahaja, but at the same time, you don't want to be foolish enough to think that they're actually on the level of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj.
Lord Chaitanya told Jagannanda Pandit, when he went to Vrindavan, he said, don't mix with the residents of there very much. Don't mix with them. He said, just stick with Sanatana Goswami. He said, the residents there are in a different type of consciousness, a different vision, and it wouldn't be very helpful for you to mix with them. So we respect people within our minds, but we don't very intimately associate with them. Neither we're going to change them. All we can all do is agitate them and agitate ourselves. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.